Our second reading promises us hope. Hope, it says, that we can boast in. Hope that will not disappoint us. Hope that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit works to bring into our lives. Such passages make me want to be cautious, however. It is a bold claim. God will give you and me hope. He will make us a hopeful people. He has opened the door for us to proceed through life with a Christ-infused optimism. This is a hope that is so mysterious and so profound that it takes a Sunday like today, Trinity Sunday, to present it through the lens of a mysterious and profound God. This work of hope, this is a work of the Holy Trinity. We have peace with the Father, our scripture says, through the Son, and hope is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This is most certainly a top-down view of how God gives hope. Hope comes from heaven to earth, from God to humanity. It is a gift of God. And Paul invites us to boast in this hope, to speak well of this hope, to proclaim this hope of sharing in the glory of God. We can tell the world we have divine hope. One of my professors in seminary asked our class one day, "Do people disappoint you often? Do you find yourself frequently disillusioned by those around you?" Many of us raised our hands in acknowledgement to say yes. He told us, "Lower your standard. It's better for you to live your life surprised by the meager kindness of others," he said. "Any good that you experience from those around you is better when it's unexpected. Otherwise, you will always be unrealistic in your expectations of others." Good and wise advice, albeit a little cynical. The psalmist says similar words. "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in mortals." It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no hope. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that day, their plans perish. Happy, hopeful are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Hope is not only top down, our scripture tells us, but it is also delightfully bottom up. Our scripture says suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. In other words, we should not be surprised by disappointment in life. There will be difficulties along the way, the scripture reminds us. We have been called to take up our cross and follow Jesus. Jesus himself said, "In the world you will face persecution. You will have troubles." This is all part of God's plan. He allows challenging experiences into our lives to strengthen us for the journey ahead. This is the good construction on God, that he molds and shapes us into good character. And as a result of God's planting his Spirit into our troubled lives, he will reap hope. Once again, from the dust of the earth, just as he did with Adam, he recreates us. He breathes life into our lives by the Holy Spirit. He overcomes our sin, evil, and death by His Son Jesus. This is the one who gives us the victory through His own suffering and death. Jesus said, "In the world you will face troubles, but take courage. I have conquered the world," He says. Suffering produces endurance, endurance character, and character hope. And so we boast, our scripture tells us. We boast in our sufferings because it is not a random happenstance. It tells a story. God is leading us through the valley of the shadow of death, from darkness to the light of hope. In other words, we can speak confidently about our troubles, our sadness, and those challenges that come along our way. And it is no accident. We can step back momentarily and look objectively at our lives. We can say, God is doing something. I may not know what it is, but it will lead to greater character and hope. He is working, and it is a work in progress. My story is unfolding, the scripture reminds us. And like a good story, it will have a hopeful end. It will be a hope that will not disappoint us, our scripture says. Our triune God is working from heaven to earth to produce hope, and He is also working from the ground up. Through the mystery of the Godhead, He brings purpose and meaning into our lives. We will not be misled if our trust is in Him. It will not be a hope that will disappoint us. We will not remain in our distress and anguish. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy will come in the morning. Hope, Paul says, is just around the corner. It's just over the horizon of endurance and good character. Of all people this week, I heard comedian Jim Carrey say essentially this good news. He said, "Life is not happening to you. Life is happening for you." I think it may take a comedian to get a laugh out of the sadness and troubles out of this world. But God gets the last laugh, and we get to join His punchline. God is using whatever you are going through to make all things new. That is the divine punchline to our difficulties. Endurance, character, and hope. In Christ, God gets the last laugh, and He invites us to join this hopeful laughter. This is the hope of our scripture today. We have obtained access to the grace in which we stand. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given us. This is life in the triune God. This is the sure antidote to cynicism and despair. This is God's trajectory, if you will, from justification to sanctification to glorification. He gives us hope that is eternal. He cultivates hope that is experienced now. And He carries us through our present troubles with a peace that surpasses understanding and a hope that will not disappoint you or me or let us down. And so we celebrate and we boast in God's gift of hope this morning. We revel in this hope for the world to hear. God gets all the credit and the glory. We have a hope that will not leave us empty, will not leave us wanting, but will fill us now and for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.